We'll go back to air here.
Yeah, I think we just continue on talking, and you know, if we get to a point we can do any Q&A, great. If we don't, that's great too. So, because I'm enjoying just talking about what you're talking about.
Okay, we're ready.
All right, here we go. All right, and we're back. This is Jeffrey Sisk. You're watching American Liberty Live, and we're talking tonight with Tom Gimbel, and just appreciate you being on with us, Tom. Telling us about where your research has led you in your life. And anyway, just let's kind of pick up where we left off before going into the break there.
Oh, well, I don't know where to start. Actually, I'd finished talking about giving the quote by FDR to give you the attitude of the real attitude of our presidents. We've been fooled all along. And the secret societies are the ones that pull the string. FDR himself said that presidents are not elected, they're selected, they're appointed.
Right.
In all cases. So going to a Democrat convention and a Republican convention and going to the polls to vote doesn't even count.
Right.
It never has. Because the presidents are picked before they even go up. Because they're all bloodline. Now, it'd be good if some of this craziness that we're talking about is checked out by your audience on their own to find out it's not craziness, but it's actually true.
Right.
That we've been misled all along. But the thing is to pull a bootstraps up and say, okay, so what's the truth? And, of course, that's what we're talking about tonight, to know who the enemy really is. So now, okay, so where were we? Where do we go from here? You know, it follows. Go ahead.
Well, we had just kind of brought it up, you know, to we had really just kind of gotten up to modern times, really. And, you know, we had talked about, you know, the Communist Manifesto, the breakdown of society. You know, we had really just kind of brought it up to where, and now you just talked about the fact that in the last, you know, 5 to 8 years, we've had an acceleration, and people are starting to realize there's something seriously wrong here, and that we're going to have to unite America to overcome this. I mean, there's more of us than there are of them, but I mean, we've got to get people to unite, because if they keep us divided along the lines that we're divided now, Tom, then we're done. You know,
well,
they'll win. So
this is what they've done. This is what they're doing. The idea is to keep us divided, and this is what's going on in Missouri. This is what's been going on all along. You
right.
See, the fundamental principle of the Satanic Illuminati, and that's who they are, is to divide the different races, divide the religions, divide the political groups, the social classes, nationalities, and then make them fight each other.
Right.
So they become weak in manpower, ruined economically. And then that plot leads them towards internationalism. That's the idea.
Right.
That's what they've been doing. You know, between 1841 and 1945, you know, you had the setup to establish us as a world power. And that began in 1897 with the false flag called Sinking of the Maine.
Right.
And that's confirmed. It was a false flag. And that justified spending to bring us into a military power to set up for the banana wars and all that in the early 1900s. And simultaneously, they were working on Japan. They had to eliminate the samurai warrior in 1860s, 1870s to industrialize Japan. Because the main goal was to establish them as a opponent to Russia.
Right.
So the Rothschilds had sworn as an enemy the Romanov family in 1860s because they sunk them in the Congress of what is it called? The Vienna Congress.
Right.
And they swore vengeance against the Romanov family in 1860s. And we're going to get you. So 1870s, they started working on Japan. At the same time, the Fabian Society and those started working on the Indians to move them out simultaneously. So by 1897, they got us as a world power, sinking of the Maine. And by 1901, 02, 03, 04 time frame, that's when they launched the attack of China and Russia, and the Rothschilds funded both sides.
Right.
And then they pulled the funding from Russia so they'd lose. That's what brought Lenin in. All this is orchestrated by the Jesuits.
Right, and they were selling the gunpowder out of South America to both sides, you know?
That's exactly right.
I mean, these are known things. These are historical facts. This is not stuff that was made up, you know? So that's why when, you know, people out there are saying, well, you know, I don't buy into that or I don't believe any of that. You know, a lot of this stuff, folks, is just historical record. You can dig this stuff up if you want to go out and look for it, you know?
I'll tell you, one place you won't find it is the history books.
Right.
The Communist Rules for Revolution goes back to 1919. And some of the rules, if you want me to, I'll give you some of the rules.
Sure.
First of all, in May of 1919 in Dusseldorf, Germany, the Allied forces obtained a copy of the Communist Rules of Revolution. And when you look at it 84 years after that, here's what they decided to do. One was corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, and make them superficial, and destroy their ruggedness. Number two was get control of all means of publicity, get people's minds off the government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books, plays, and other trivialities.
Yeah, and then later they turned that into movies and video games, and you know the distractions got better. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. And was it 1915, according to congressional records, J.P. Morgan did a study on how to control the public. And by getting control of the media,
right.
Long story short, and it goes into a more description, but the bottom line was he bought out, as they determined, 25 of the major newspapers in the United States. And they assigned the editor for each one that would adhere to the goals of the Illuminati. And then 1915, they controlled the editorials, controlled the newspapers, controlled the publication of news and everything, until 1919 to 1921, and that's when the Rockefellers formed the Council of Foreign Relations.
Right.
That is the Illuminati. And so the Council of Foreign Relations then assumed control of all media.
Yeah, and I was gonna interject that. I mean, all of our major media, all of our mass market media, including Rupert Murdoch at Fox News, they're all part of the Council on Foreign Relations.
That's right. He owns the copyright to NIV Bible too, by the way.
Right. Yes, he does.
And Satan's Bible at the same time. And he's a Knights of Malta member.
Right.
Number three was to divide people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. So they'll set up a situation, they'll publicize it, and they'll cause division by either race or economic position or, you know, national patriotism, whatever. They'll
right.
provide it, and then they'll set up different hostile groups. What are we talking about?
For example, look at something like abortion. They've used that since the 70s to divide us in every political election. They know it works, and they throw that out there and cause division with it. In every election, in
That's
my
right.
lifetime, they've used that issue.
You know what they're not telling the public? I'll just go ahead and throw this in, that the real purpose of abortion not only is for depopulation, but also to break up the families, et cetera, but the underlining true purpose of abortion and getting it legalized is one. And that is to legalize child sacrifice to their god Moloch. That's the purpose of abortion. Just like the Mayans did.
Yeah.
You see, your government...
I agree 100% with that, Tom.
That's the purpose of it. People don't know. They mask it with political agenda, with social issues, with moral issues, economic. That's not it at all. It's about child sacrifice for Lucifer, for Satan.
Right. And I mean, and even if somebody out there doesn't buy into that, because for a lot of people that may be a little far out there, the fact is they have used these issues like that to divide and conquer very well, I might say. You know, we have been manipulated very well. They have done such a good job with this over time, and we've literally not put up a fight whatsoever because the plan was so well executed to get to where we are right now. Period.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, another tactic they're using, and this was discovered not only in the investigation, Canadian Customs Service, but also in their planning process, the protocols. They had a goal of to destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding the latter up to contempt, ridicule, and to speak against them, condemnatory utterances. Now, what that means is, as it was an outlay of the program in 1873 to 1901. All right, now, during this period of time, there were several lectures, and what they said was, long story short, was to that once the population had acknowledged the worthlessness of all governments, that's when they would launch the attack that day.
Right.
So they have to show you, using controlled opposition that pretends to be on your side but not, to show you how worthless the government is. And so that way, when you see, well, yeah, the government's worthless. We don't like it. It's ugly. It's mean, nasty, tyrannical. But we have something for you. It's called the UN. It's called world government and for peace. Don't you want that instead? Oh, yeah, we'll take that. That's how they're doing it.
Right, and look at the approval ratings over the last 10 years of Congress and the president. They've been at historical all-time lows, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's how they do it. And so now Obama works with the rest of them, and he plays his role as he's trained to do, just like Bush did, just like Bush Sr. did, like Clinton did, like Reagan, Jimmy Carter, the whole doggone lot of them play their roles as they're told to.
Right.
You see. always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast as ruthless as possible. Number five. Number six. Encourage the government extravagance, destroy the credit, produce fear of inflation and rising prices and general discontent. So when you see articles about Obama, about Michelle Obama, about and the time that we had Clinton's, Bush's, when it's time for them to leave, they would show, like, look, they went on a vacation and shopped in the biggest stores, spent the government's taxpayers' money for, $1 million for the plane ride. They want you to know that.
Right.
You see? Because that way it affects public opinion. And it causes, well, you can see what it causes. It destroys the credit, produces fear of inflation and rising prices, and it causes to see the government how worthless they are. This is the tricks they play. Number seven was to foment strikes in vital industries and encourage civil disorders, and foster a lenient and soft attitude on the part of government toward these disorders. So now they're switching around. They want us to see how tyrannical we are. Now, we have a tyrannical government, right? Tyrannical government?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got a real poor one, because if Rick Joyner, and I could play it right now, I got it queued up. It would take long. His actual statement on his own public TV about how he's praying for a military takeover of the U.S. government. And then they list General Boykin as one of his partners in this thing. He's a Knights of Malta member.
Right.
I mean, it just blows you away that they're so open about it. You know?
Well, they're just, you know, and like you were saying earlier, and they're telegraphing everything that they're going to do, you know.
Yep.
And there's some arrogance with that, but I think also you're probably right. There's some spiritual laws there that we don't understand or know. But definitely comes off as arrogant, you know, because they do let us know what they're going to do before they do it.
Yep. You know? Now, by special argument, number eight, cause a breakdown of the old moral values. Honesty, sobriety, continence and faith in the pledged word and ruggedness.
Right.
Make a woman like a man and a man like a woman.
Right.
Give women men roles and men women roles. And that's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in her report, that what that was for.
Yeah.
As I explained a little while ago. And then number 9 was the cause of registration of all firearms on some pretext with a view of confiscation of them and leave the population helpless.
Right.
So they want you to know, the folks that have weapons, they want you to know that they protected themselves right now. So when they come around with the helter-skelter, when they come around with the planned helter-skelter that's coming, and they say, well, we're not going to declare martial law to help you until you turn your weapons in. So then when you turn our weapons in, which you better not, but if you turn your weapons in, then you're going to feel helpless because that's where you put your faith in, was the weapons.
Right.
And then you have neighbors tell on neighbors that's got weapons, I ain't turned my weapon in, and they're going to say, hey, my neighbor, he's still got his gun.
Well, and this is exactly what they did in Germany, Nazi Germany. You know, they got people, you know, telling on their neighbors. And I don't know, have you seen the letter from the 90-something-year-old woman that lives here, that lived through Germany? And she's, you know, was telling the story that they had a free society. They had the right to bear arms. They had all these things, you know, that there was a controlled takedown of their, you know, their currency and all that. You know, it was that thing you're talking about, collapse the system. And then, you know, Hitler was popularly elected. And she said, our mistake was we didn't stand up. She said, at any point along the process, if we had stood up as a people, there were more of us than them, mm-hmm. and we didn't do it. And they would take down this group, and then this group, and then this group. And nowhere along the line did they stand up as a people, and they lost their country. And what her warning was to America is that's exactly what's happening today.
Well, that's why they created the Christian Identity, the KKK, the Aryan Nation, Black Panthers, Black Muslims, NAACP, ACLU, ADL, which is really higher level than the rest of them, the Southern Law Center thing. All these organizations, Tea Party, formed under the Council of National Policy.
Right.
Council of National Policy is a right-wing Republican group like LaHaye and Palin, Oliver North, Chuck Missler, a lot of them, Matriciano, a lot of them, some of them CIA members, under the Council of National Policy. It's a secretive right-wing group that's underneath the Council of Foreign Relations. I don't know who to trust anymore.
Right. Well, see, that's the problem. And then, you know what, you just kind of set up the question that I wanted to get you to through all this tonight. And this is what it is. Here we are. You know, we're in this situation. We all know where we're at as a country. We know there's insidious forces out there that they would like us to become something else. And you know, whether you call it the New World Order or whatever you want to call it, it's a different form of government that would circumvent what we have grown up to think we had, you know, as a republic. So my question to you, Tom, is what do we need to do to get our country back? What does America need to do to take it back and to put it on its constitutional roots?
Start would be to get rid of the Jesuits, the Freemasons, and the government, the military.
Right.
That's near impossible. There's not much. I don't want to be negative on this, but literally you'd have to get rid of all the secret society members, generals, congressmen, CEOs.
So you're saying we would basically have to start over. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, you'd have to start completely and totally over. It'd be a massive, but you don't have any, there's nobody to do it. They control all the militaries.
Right.
They have the UN troops already here. Listen, they've targeted our troops. They have, I was going to tell you. See, the plan is to make a national police force, and that goes back to, actually, Hitler, but it goes back to Clinton, the national police force.
Right.
Well, here's the problem. The national police force will be made up of, I didn't say it might be, I said it will be made up of felons that's well-trained in the Christian Identity, ADL, Blackwater, college educated, multilingual, and about 185,000 plus will be your national police force.
Well, and also, Tom, the word out on the street is they're promising a lot of these young men that are coming across the border that they're bringing into here that are in their 20s and 30s that, you know, give us 2 years of service and then we'll give you citizenship, and that they're going to enroll these guys and sign them up to be part of that, Homeland Security Army that we're talking about.
Right, exactly correct. And that's the purpose of the immigration thing. See, infesting America with all the aliens possible.
Right.
That actually started in 1492, but nevertheless.
And they're going to be motivated to follow orders because they want citizenship.
That's right.
They want the amnesty, right?
You see, the New Age movement is the enemy, and the New Age movement is going to be the result of a re-spiritualization, as documented, of the Catholic Church that the Catholics don't know yet.
Right.
And when they re-spiritualize the Catholic Church into the New Age movement, here's the downside. You know, we're all, you know, cook marshmallows on the campfire and hold hands and say kumbaya, but that's not what's going to happen. What they're not telling the New Agers is that they're going to close down the prisons. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. No more prisons. No more death penalty. They're getting rid of all that. And the problem is when you close the prisons down and let the felons out for good. They're felons, you know, and they're your police, your national police. If you really want the answer, the real answer, and I've said this on my own broadcast, my own network, and everything else, the answer that the Joint Chief of Staff would take into, actually the only answer, is actually 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is the only answer. See, we didn't win the Revolutionary War. We didn't win the Civil War. And the First World War was a carry-on to the Second. We didn't win the Second World War. We brought the Nazis over here. We just brought them over. They formed the UN, they formed the CIA, they formed our NASA program, Von Braun. We brought them over, and the communists was the next enemy that was set up by Albert Pike, Karl Marx, etc.
Right.
That was the next alternative enemy. And that's what Korea was all about. That's what Vietnam was all about. As a matter of fact, that's some heavy claims, so let me give you a quote from Jim McConnell.
Yeah, and I'm going to interject this again, because this is very true. I mean, and, you know, whether you believe some of these things, because some of them are just too far out for a lot of people, that have really truthfully been victimized with decades of propaganda in their life, right?
Yep.
So because so much of our history has been erased. So, you know, when you boil this down, you know, like if you hear this stuff and you think, you know, Tom's crazy and just off the wagon, you know, the whole thing is, it's not important that you believe everything he's telling you, but it is important that the takeaway is that there are forces in the world that do want to take America down, and we've watched that happen over the last, you know, especially the last 10 years has been very effective, and over the last 30 to 40 years, you know, of my lifetime that I've been old enough to pay attention, you know, we have watched the destruction of morality in America. We have watched some amazing change happen in our country. So it's not important that, you know, we all agree and say, you know, that everything that Tom's saying that I can buy into that. But the takeaway is there is evil in the world. There have been things done that have been put in motion to destroy America. They're happening today. It's accelerating. And we're going to have to get some sort of a plan. If we care anything about leaving a republic for our kids and grandkids, we're going to have to figure out how to do that. And that's why I'm asking that difficult question. Question a minute ago is, you know, maybe tonight's not the night you answer that, but maybe you chew on that a little bit. So next time you come on, you know, we can talk about it a little bit.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but like I said, though, this thing is ran by the foot soldiers, Knights of Malta, Freemasons. They control. So you got to get rid of all of them. They've got a blood oath that they're going to be the saints of the next New World Order.
Right. And I agree. And the simple layman's message that I've had out there is that we've got to get rid of the people that we have in government now, because they are not representing you. They're not going to represent you. They have their own agendas, and it is not to take care of the American people.
Well, that would mean we would have to get rid of all the Illuminati in Italy, all the Illuminati in Germany, Queen Elizabeth, the popes. We'd get rid of the Catholic Church, the Vatican. We just have to get a complete worldwide changeover.
Right. It would be a purging.
And
there's other things that would have to happen. Like, I know that people talk about it. I know Kathy and I have talked about the global currency reset. You know, to get the world's currencies back on a gold standard or a asset-based standard. Because they've used that system to manipulate us, right?
Yes, they have, but you got to figure out who are they that's going to form up to do that.
Right. Because you don't want to replace it with another group of insidious people. And we've had that discussion, right?
Yeah.
Because in revolution, you can end up with a solution that's worse than what you had.
You would, because like I said, with General Boykin and Rick Joyner, high level Knights of Malta, pretending to be on our side, military revolt, when they work for the very side that they're working against. They're working for that side.
That's right. And when you have people from the inside working against you, it's the most insidious of all, right? Because you almost can't protect against that.
That's a fifth column strategy.
Yeah.
Talincha said the way you defeat them is get inside.
Right.
The gates, not from the outside charging in, but from the inside before to weaken the inside of the castle.
That's right.
Fifth column strategy. The only way is by supernatural. There's no other way. Because you're fighting against the supernatural forces. The fallen angels exist. And they're the ones controlling the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, UN. They communicate. They work through the second heaven to the first heaven. It's a little wild, but that's what they do. They channel them. They actually present themselves in these meetings, or they channel their orders. I can't say it no other way.
Well, I got to tell you, we've just talked to you for a long time tonight instead of doing any Q&A, and I'm like getting beat up here with the backdoor channels that everybody wants to get on here and ask you a few questions. Have you got a few minutes to do that with us?
Just go into it. I learn something every time.
All right, because I know they want to get in a few questions with you, and we're kind of running up on the time here. So anybody that wants to be on the air now with Tom, you can either call the show at 352-201-5080, or you can add American Liberty Live as a Skype friend. If you're already on here, just let me know now, and I will add you. And I know there are a couple of you already, so let me scroll down here and figure out who those people were. Just bear with me here. By the way, somebody wanted to, one of our listeners here said, please let Tom know that he has really enjoyed you being on here. That's somebody on here known as Mega. A lot of them we only know by screen name. Just bear with me here. Okay, I can't find again the people that were wanting to come on, so you either need just to call into the show at this point or just let me know. And you can't do it as a group call. So you got to call in individually. So just let me know who you are. Type me a little note. Kathy, while we're waiting on them to do that, have you got any questions for Tom?
No, I think that Tom and I have been talking for many years.
Okay.
And he even gets my head spinning.
Right.
So we get to a point where we get so much information that you can't shove any more in there. And I think we need to clarify some of the things that we already talked about. And I'm hoping that people are going to come on and ask the questions, and let's have an honest conversation and not be afraid.
Ask anything they want, or even if they disagree, that's okay too. Yeah.
And that's the point I was trying to make. Even if you don't want to believe it from that angle of the things that you've discovered through your research, even if somebody isn't going to buy into all that, we all know something's wrong. And we know there's been destruction of American values and morality and all that. We've seen that happen. I watched it happen in my lifetime. It is a historical fact. This has happened in America, period. And we've and now gone through a very sad, sorry state of affairs. So I know all of us can agree on that, no matter whether we buy into any of that stuff or not. We know for a fact that we're in a bad place as a country right now.
Oh, yeah. I can add, too, on my website, I've got – it's a very simple website. I'm not real adequate in website development, but on my website, I have a timeline. It's about 200 pages, Microsoft Word, that's got everything I'm talking about, and they can just go on there for their own research and trace it down and do what they want to with it, except sell it.
Right. Right.
Sell it, but it's all free. This is all free what I do. I don't do anything for money, nothing.
And that's the whole thing is that when it seems like it's something that you can't quite get into your realm of thinking, and so you're going to toss it out and say it's not true because you don't want to deal with it. He's already got that right there. Just go research what he's got.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm going to show that just for the folks since we can put it on the air here. Hang on a second. Let me pull up his site. It's Watchman for Jesus, WATCHMANFORJESUS.com. And I'll show that to you guys on the air.
And you know, it's really hard to take some of this stuff in because our minds, like I said the other night, our human minds are not set up for this evilness.
Nope.
We can't even get this.
Right, and most people have a normalcy bias that says, no, this is just not true. Yeah. So
right. Throw it out the window. I don't want to deal with it.
Well, actually, they'll go through six stages. There's six stages they go through. And the six stages they go through, about 90% is the same stages you go through when you lose a mother or a father in death. It's called
exactly.
Stages. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah, it's just mourning stages.
Yep.
Yeah.
Betrayal.
Yep. That's good.
All right, we have a caller coming in, and I'll have to figure out how to plug you guys up, so hang on just a second. All right, you're on the air on American Liberty Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Well, we lost them. I'm not sure what happened there. All right, we'll see if they call back.
I think Pete was trying to come in on Skype.
Yeah, I brought him in, and I was just kind of waiting for a spot there. But have you got a question, Pete, for Tom?
Yeah, sure. I kind of got in here a little late. I was wondering what Tom thought, if you haven't already answered the question, about Andrew Tamarisi and that situation. What is the intention for what they're doing here?
Andrew Tamarisi, you mean in Missouri? What?
No, the Marine is being held in Tijuana that our president hasn't any effort for to get him out. His mother
was
on
okay.
Here last night.
Yeah. It's about control of the veterans. It's about making them angry or the idea is to show that the Obama administration is worthless. And Obama would play that role. It's always been this way.
Yeah.
For example, in Bush, his second term, he was told to act stupid. He was told just to act a little goofy and whatever. See, they play a role. This sounds crazy, but it's true. Obama is a pseudo-Muslim. He's trained to be a Muslim. But they're all Luciferian. They're all in the same bloodline.
Yep.
It goes back to the Merovingian bloodline. They're cousins, every doggone one of them. And they play a role like a script. So now they're going to play political issues here with this, with him being held hostage, somehow free him, or they'll use it some kind of a crisis that's going to show either that the Obama administration is not adequate, or they're going to tick off the veterans, which is what they want to do.
Right.
So they'll play it out just like they did Sandy Hook. That's purpose for that was another purpose to put security in the schools. And then the security in the schools will facilitate protecting the schools from the parents.
Right.
See, everything has a – don't let any crisis go to waste.
So this in Mexico, you think, has to do with – something to do with controlling the vets?
Yeah. The vets are going to be interested in it. what he does, and it's about the adequacy of the government. What are they going to do? What's Obama's attitude? But Obama isn't in control. The president of the United States is not in control. He does what he's told to do by the Council of Foreign Relations.
Exactly.
You see?
Well, they're trying to create a feeling with the American public of incompetency of government. They're doing a good job.
Well, that's actually, you remember I mentioned that investigation in 1920 of the Canadian Excise Customs Service. Subsequent to that investigation, they actually found the plot to destroy both Canada and the United States as nations. Subsequent to that. And in one of the evidences, after the, I'm not going to go over all of it, but there's like four I would mention. Here's one, two, three, four. And on number five, here's what number five they found in the investigation. Finally, they saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to disgust the public. It gave the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change would be for the best. But the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalists who organized this gigantic conspiracy and subversives and underworld who put their plans into effect, unquote. You see, so they want you to see that the whatever administration it is that they're going to vilify to control the public. It's a dialectic.
Right.
It's all under control, but they're controlled for now. I don't know if I've answered it. We have to see how this plays out to find out what their actual agenda is toward the Obama administration about this situation in Mexico.
But, well, I'm just thinking, since Tamarisi's been in prison, during that time, isn't it during that time that the 200 chiefs were laid off? The 200
Military leaders, yeah.
Military leaders?
Yeah. We fired over 200. I think we're coming up on 300 now.
Yeah, and isn't it during that time that Obama announced that he's going to lay off 800,000 more?
Yeah, and we got World War III blooming, right?
Right. Now that time we want to be downsizing our military for sure.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the issue. Is to,
but how would holding Tamarisi have anything to do with that? This, I don't get it.
I think that's a distraction.
A lot of this is distraction. I agree with you. He could free him, but he won't do it. He's got to show that he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I also think it's a Second Amendment thing. Like, don't you dare come around any border with your weapons, because this is what happens to you.
Oh, you know,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Because Bush signed the executive order in 2006 called the Veterans Disarmament Act, 2006. And it did that because they knew that they would start assigning, you know, post-traumatic stress to the vets when they came back, and that way
they
couldn't hold
a letter.
They'll get a
letter when they get home. You can't have a firearm.
That's
exactly what's happening. I've seen the letter. I've seen it.
And I know for a fact that the voices they hear in their head is not coming from post-traumatic stress. It's induced by technology called voice
bingo.
And the vets can't talk about it. They can't tell the veteran or the
MK Ultra.
Exactly correct.
Yeah, and they may not even know it.
And they, some of them actually think, well, I'm crazy because I hear these voices. But no, it's technology. You see, and that's why I try to get across to them when I see them when I go to the VA. But, you know, it's a little touch and go.
And I've spoken with people that they've actually purchased that technology. You can actually purchase it and shoot this ray at somebody and they can hear a voice.
Microwave.
Really?
Available.
That's right. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. As a matter of fact, Illuminati organization by the name of Walmart has been using it in some stores as a practice for their advertisement.
That's true. I remember reading that.
Mm-hmm.
Buy this.
And you're like, where'd that come from?
I don't want that thing.
Buy it anyway.
Well,
I didn't say that.
A lot of subliminal stuff, you know, especially like the image, flashing images in movies and that stuff, you know, where it would show you a frame of popcorn, and next thing you know, you're getting up and going to go get some. I mean, they've been they've been doing all sorts of stuff to control our thinking for a long time, you know. And I'm sure some of it's very advanced today, you know. So
I traced. Go ahead.
I kind of laugh because I go in and I'll pick things up and they'll be in my cart. And they weren't on my list, and I don't know why I'm buying them. And then I get up to the front and I say, I don't need this stupid thing, but put that back.
Mm-hmm. The healthcare bill is going to fund what's called a digital tattoo, DARPA.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've traced the technology. I've got the actual study back to 1973, Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwetzebel. And they did, it's based, the key words are coercive behavior modification techniques with offenders. So they took prisoners, felons that were homosexual, and they implanted a device in their body with a transponder that could deliver an electrical shock anywhere in the world to them. The device could monitor conversations, locations, and even their sexual response anywhere in the world. And so when they got a sexual response in 73 on the individual, they could deliver an electrical shock to him to stop it. I've got the study, you know. And so it was an NSA computer specialist suggested in that period of time to attach it to 20 million Americans. Now, the paper is a 97-page monograph, predicted micro-miniaturization. That was the next, well, we're way past that. And so what they got now is called nanobots that's put in their body by vaccinations and breathing it. And you have 7,800 veterans right now, well, not now, but it's 2010, that is in a lawsuit against DOD and the CIA for septal, that's nose, septal implants. Okay. The lawsuit's there. So what they do is, voice-to-skull technology at 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, REM sleep. They'll know when they're REM sleep. They have their DNA. They can trace their DNA signature from space with a satellite. Now, the microchips enhances that signature. Okay, so when they reach their REM sleep, then they're profiled. See, some people can be hypnotized and some can't. So they profile them, they hypnotize them at night, give them a keyword, and they kill their wife, three kids, and they kill themselves the next day, and you hear it in the news. That's that one way how Kyle, a sniper, was killed, and his friend, on the firing range a couple years ago. The one that knocked out, what's his name, Ventura?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, he's supposed to go to court this year, and he did. Couldn't.
He already went. He won.
No, I mean, Kyle was supposed to be there, too, by the way.
Oh.
But Kyle was killed by a Marine on the firing range when he was trying to teach him how to fire. The Marine just turned around and killed Kyle and killed his friend, ran off on a range with their police officers with weapons there. Nobody shot him. He got in the car and sped off. That was an assassination. MK Ultra. To make sure that Kyle didn't make it to that court, and also because Kyle was a good guy. And he's one of the best snipers since Hancock. Now, they got another sniper yesterday, Richards, out of Camp Lejeune. He was the one that was in the court case, and the hierarchy didn't want him talking, and he was found dead, I think it was yesterday or day before, in Camp Lejeune, a scout sniper.
Mm-hmm.
These are assassinations.
There are a lot of them going on, and we just don't realize it.
And I know
we don't, you know, almost everything that goes on in this world ties together. One thing ties to the other, ties to the other, ties to the other. They're all connected. And a lot of these deaths that are taking place right now, they're all connected either to rituals or to shutting people up.
Exactly correct.
I do want to add that they need to get permission. You know, Satan needs to ask permission, just like in Job. So, you know, it's important for us to not be afraid and be bold and know that the Lord knows the day and the hour for each and every one of us.
That's right.
And so, if they're going to do an assassination or they have to get the Lord's permission to do those kinds of things.
That's exactly right.
So, I just wanted to say that, you know, don't be afraid. And evil is evil, and evil doesn't stand up to Jesus Christ. And so we need to be brave, and we need to stand in what we believe and stand with our Lord. And he's going to do this thing. And there's nothing, yeah. No power
well
going to come against those that are united to him.
Well said, indeed.
All right, so is I guess if anybody else would like to ask any questions of Tom, now would be the time to do it. We're kind of at the tail, and I guess we've monopolized him here for about 2 hours tonight so far, 2 hours and 10 minutes. If you'd like to get in a question, let me know now, or not. And I have been looking at the social stream here to see if anything came across. And we'll give that a second here to see. But we just appreciate you coming on, Tom, and spending some time with our viewers and talking to us.
Well, I appreciate you bringing me on. I you know, let me know, and I'll wait around as long as you want me to, I guess.
Right. Right. I think we're – oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I didn't say
that word.
Oh, it was Pete. All right, go ahead, Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Now, in light of what we're discussing, you know, this is all planned and planned opposition against the government, the government's so bad. So, you know, we have the UN, and the UN will take care of you now because your government's so bad and can't take care of themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, with what's going on in St. Louis and these recent protests, you know, it kind of seems like maybe it's a lot of Occupy people. I mean, I don't know, but the whole Occupy movement, you know, I just wonder what your thoughts are on that and what's going on currently with the St. Louis thing.
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street was funded by the Rockefellers. They fund Gramsci in 1926. He talks about that the marchers, the ones that protagonists to the marchers, the revolution, whatever, is funded by the very people they're marching against. They need chaos to bring order. Well, you have the Bundy situation. Bundys are Illuminati. Bundy's Illuminati. And so you had white folk against white folk. You had the militia guys against the police. It was all scripted out. So they also want to know who's going to show up. So they take face recognition. They identify who's going to show up and what's going to happen in that part of the country. As far as Missouri goes, now you got black on white, white on black. It's to test and see if we're ready and how far we're going to go with the racial issue and to cause division. It's a test. These are test cases.
Right.
You know, they like to test before they actually pull it off. And
it's like they're taking notes.
They're taking notes, all right. Faces, facial recognition, what's the reaction of the public, all that.
Right.
In 2010 or 11, you had in Hardin, Montana, the American police force, which was a contract European force that took over a sheriff's department there in Hardin, Montana. And it's called the American Police Force. And their logo was a Serbian coat of arms. And the leader was a 15-time felon, loser. So they took over the functions of the police department there for a short period of time. The American Police Force. And it didn't go so well. After a while, they had to pull out. That was a test case. Because they're going to use felons as a national police force. That's coming. And they're going to disarm and take out those police officers nationwide that does not join the New World Order. They're going to round them up. It's going to happen when they declare martial law.
Don't you think, Tom, that some of these already are from the prisons? Because 50,000 have been removed from the prisons.
Oh, absolutely have been. There's no question about that. When you hear about the police shooting a dog, they're told to shoot the personal animals. They're told to shoot them.
Yeah.
As part of the agenda, ADL.
Yeah.
On purpose. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the ones that shoot innocent people, beat them up, they're told to do that. Now, the other police officers, they're between the rock and hard place.
And it would also explain why America has more prisons, more people in prison per capita than anywhere else in the world, because they were put there on purpose, so there would be more of them available for whatever purposes they wanted to serve, right?
Exactly. I mean,
because we do, and it's an astounding thing, and a lot of people don't realize we have more people in prison here per capita than anywhere else.
Yeah, and prisons here make a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's a per day, per prisoner kind of deal.
Right.
Absolutely, it's big business.
You know, around the world, you go to prison, you have to buy, your family has to bring your meals, and either you have family or you go hungry. They don't provide you meals.
Yeah.
So.
But they're organizing a helter-skelter that they're supposed to have in the 1960s. And Charles Manson, he made his debut and his connection with Lucifer in the Sharon Tate murders. And so since then, when they put him in prison, that was for protection. Like they did Mandela, that murderer. Mandela couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King. Mandela was the Knights of Malta. And he murdered more people while he was in prison. That was his protection. He was the Knights of Malta. A member of the Knights of Malta.
That was real apparent at his funeral.
Yep.
We have another caller that's just connected in. Tom would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is it me?
It's you. This is Breeze.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. Hi, how are you tonight, Tom? And thank you so much for being with us. I'm really excited about having you here. And I've been kind of touching and studying this type of thing for almost all my life. So I have a question for you. All right. You've already established that the Illuminati is calling the shots here. I haven't heard you yet go into the concept that they actually... But I'm sure you do talk about this, and I will look at your website, that they actually get together as groups and actually have, like, seances, so to speak, for lack of a better word, and each actually draw on the power of the dark side, also known as maybe, you know, you can call it the devil, you can call it whatever you want, but it's the dark side out there. Okay, so being that that's established, and you do agree with this, correct, so far?
100%.
Okay, cool. All right, so now... I've always been suspicious that there's been part of the Bible that was left out. The part that, the reason I say this is because of other research that's crossed my path. That there's a part in there where Jesus talks about how when he says you can do everything I do, I can do and more. When he's talking about healing or all these kinds of things, that there was a portion left out when they put together this Bible. That actually literally gave us the directions of the steps to actually how to do that. And from what I gathered, the part that was left out was the acknowledgement that we, as human beings, are not just a physical human being. We're like a powerful spiritual being living within a human existence. And that our, like some people call it the word prayer, some people call it focused meditation, but ultimately it is about God, okay, however you want to. Honor that concept. But my thing is, and what I always get excited about, what I like to teach and kind of toy with is getting a bunch of people together and getting them to recognize that through meditation, or if you want to call it prayer, however you want to get there, but that you can, and especially in a group setting, one or, you know, two or more is considered a group. It's like putting a light bulb together. You have one light bulb or you have 10 light bulbs. One is bright, 10 are brighter. So, and get people together and have an intention. Have an idea. Have a focus. And in other words, through this practice of learning, however you get taught this, I mean, other, you could call it meditation, to raise your vibration, so to speak, and surround yourself, you know, be with God, you know, call on God, call on the angels, the good, the white side, the purity of the world, or of God. And through that God light, through that God universal energy, focus our attention in a way to, there again, lack of a better word, defeat these evildoers. You know, because I believe... that, yeah, you know, they might be getting away with it all this time, but I think that's because we've managed to become preoccupied and, excuse me, there again, some people, even though church was around when I was a little kid, a lot of people didn't go. My brothers, for God's sakes, don't even know anything about because they weren't in the right place at the right time and didn't have the interest. So the point is that if we all started to recognize that God is, God does exist, God is powerful, more powerful than any dark side could ever possibly be, and if we really, really banded together as a group, and the more the merrier, don't you think we could fight this thing?
No. We can do nothing. We can do...
you just blew me out of the water.
I'm sorry. I have to tell you the truth, though. We can We can do nothing without Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, of course.
We have to become born again, or he will not give us the power. You can't individually. It's impossible for a human being. We don't have the dimensional capacity. For example, I'm gonna be blunt. You're not going to like this, but none of you is going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The remote viewing they do at the Pentagon, the super soldiers, the way they achieve that power is the same way the Freemasons, the third degree, know the royal secret. The royal secret, man, they're not going to like this at all. But nevertheless, in the Pentagon and in the Russian, when they did the research, by sodomizing a young boy child or rape or murder or an abomination of this kind, you then open a portal, I think in the New Age it's called chakras, but the portal, by this abomination of rape or sodomizing or homosexual advance or something of that nature, opens up a portal in your body, allowing a demon to come inside, gives them that power.
That's right.
Okay, I can appreciate that.
Yoga, meditation opens up portals. You see, you have in the pineal gland the silver cord, and that silver cord is your soul. Your soul is connected to the silver cord, and your existence, your soul, is centered in the pineal gland. That's where the center of the forehead. That's what it's all about.
Right. And that's why they want to get they're going after the God gene. I actually saw a video. There was a kid trying to, and it was a military presentation, and this was several years ago, and that's what they were trying to capture, that God gene, exactly what you were talking about in the pineal gland. Go ahead.
Exactly. And so this whole thing is about good and evil. It's about supernatural. The demons are like little persons. There's millions of them. And so a demon of lust, a demon of anger, a demon. These are demons like having a special job. What does this mean? What it means is the frequency of this physical universe is like 7.8 hertz. Well, there's a certain frequency of pride, a certain frequency of anger. I'm heterosexual. I'm not homosexual. So if I, if a demon with the frequency of homosexuality was to come near me, he's not going to get through.
Right.
You see, but if I am tempted by my own voluntary and gets, kind of turned on and, and commit adultery or commit some other act, my frequency will change because my emotion reflects it. It will be like a green light for that demon to come inside me and say, "Now go, boy." And this is how
the way I express that is that you change your energy, you lower your energy, and you actually resonate and now attract somebody of that like energy. Okay. Whereas if you raise your energy up and you become more spiritual, in tune with Jesus, of course. I mean, as you know, we wouldn't even. Okay, I'm not even going to get into the religious aspect of it. I have my personal ways of doing this, and believe me, I call on Jesus. Jesus is with me. Okay, but I do realize that it's Jesus, and then there's God. Okay, so I am definitely in that corner of the world. You know, a corner of thought. I'm certainly, but anyway, you know what? I believe that. And that's why it's important to not mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually dwell in those lower realms of thought. Because as you said, if you get tempted through, this other type of homosexuality or whatever, and you resonate at that, yes, you will attract that. And as well as when you're running around life, and you have a higher, you pray every day, and you feel you're in tune, and God's driving your bus, and you're doing well that way. You're acknowledging the existence, of just all of that. I believe that you're drawn to the now you're resonating at that energy level. So those are the people you're drawing to you. You know, we could talk about this for hours. I really enjoy talking to you about. But are you serious? Original question. You really don't think that if we, through the power of Jesus, through God, that we are not able to fight this thing? I can't agree with
now,
you.
Now, in that regard, becoming righteous, becoming born again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, again, we go back to it. He tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, he said no the first time, Breeze, because you didn't put God in it.
Yeah.
In the question.
Kathy, I understand. I mean, I can appreciate that, but I thought what I was trying to say is, you know, getting around the Bible, that Jesus told us how to be.
He did.
Jesus taught us, you know.
Ten Commandments.
But they left some of that information out. I really believe that. Don't you or don't you?
But the only way is through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the only way is through the Holy Spirit. And see, Moses couldn't open that water up. He did. That's what he did. He couldn't do it himself. There's no way possible. And all the people, all the Jews, the Hebrews, and Moses together, thinking, holding hands, it never happened. But only through a righteous man, as appointed by God, and in God's will it be done. Moses couldn't do it himself, and the whole people, all the million or however many together, could have caused the sea to open. Only God can. And God won't work through you until you're righteous in his eyes.
Well, of course.
Right. So, in the, yeah,
that's kind of like a given.
That's true.
I think it's important to understand that we can't see things from a worldly or material perspective, because Jesus was there hanging on the cross. It looked like everything was done for him. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the greatest power, but it looked like the greatest defeat.
Exactly right. But that gave him the power, because Satan does not have discernment nor wisdom, and he cannot see the future. That means they're not time travelers, by the way.
Okay, listen, I'm going to hang up so others can get in, but I really appreciate talking with you, Tom, and
you too,
maybe you can come back sometime. It would be great.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Alrighty, then.
All right, thank you, Breeze.
All right, bye-bye, Jeff.
Bye-bye. All right, let me check the social stream here, Tom, see if anybody else has got a question here.
Okay.
And then we'll let you move on.
Okay. Let's see.
All right, I think we're good here. I don't see anything new. But I do, everybody did enjoy having you on here tonight, Tom. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Well, I appreciate that. I wasn't sure how this would be received, but I appreciate it.
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of things that a lot of people out there, you know, just because of, decades of propaganda, they're not gonna, you know, a lot of stuff is too far out for a lot of people.
Yep.
You know, but I think the important takeaway is that, you know, it's like I was saying, is that there are insidious forces in the world, and we've seen the result of it. And we know that America today is very different than, say, it was, you know, even, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So we've seen an erosion of our morality as a country. We know these things have happened, and we're going to have to figure out, you know, what we can do as Americans, you know, to try and figure out, How do we mitigate this? And I know these are big problems. And maybe when you come back, maybe we can talk some more about maybe some of the things that we can do. But for me, it's been about uniting America of all factions, all skin colors, all political spectrums. That if we have any hope, you know, we've got to put God back in our country, and we've got to unite the people around a common goal. That there is something wrong, and we need to be standing together to fix it.
Well, right? 40 years ago, it would have happened, but now they've chipped away at the morality to the point that today your children's peripheral vision only goes as far as a monitor.
That's right.
You see, and the 19 states have now... See, this is why they're doing the homosexual marriage. 19 states now. So the more we increase that, God pulls away. And also keep in mind, it doesn't mean we don't do something. We do, because Texas achieved quite a bit. What did they do? They stopped the HIV shot from being mandatory by Perry back 2 years ago. They stopped that. There's something else that Texas did recently that defeated the New World Order. So little things like that chipping away. So when you knock a couple spokes out of the wheel, the the Treader might break down. But right. Eventually, it's going to succeed. Don't mean we don't stop.
Right.
But the tribulations are coming. But one thing I want to leave you with is that is coming the disclosure when, I don't know, but the alien lie, the ascended master made publicly, is coming. And that's what's going to galvanize and bring in the New World Order. That's documented by quote. And that's what you're going to be watching out for, is the fallen angels making themselves public. And that's called Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, externalization of the hierarchy. That's coming. You see, that's the big push now. It was Nazism, fascism, communism, Islamic fundamentalism, meteorites hitting the earth. The last one, as documented, is the extraterrestrial disclosure. That's going to bring the New World Order.
That the one that's the last and final card?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, is the false prophet of the Bible. And that's coming.
Well, we got some hope here because today the military signed back another order, and the military is ordered to put Bibles back in their
That was it. Okay. Books. Thank you. That's it.
No, yep. That's pretty awesome. Yep.
Yes, it is. So yeah, it can be done. Prayer is the only thing that can do it. Unity in prayer.
Right.
That's what's going to do it.
That's right.
And you can bet there was a lot of people praying about that one.
So this thing could happen next month. It could be delayed for another 10 years. It'd go another century.
Here's the thing, and that's what I was going to point out. Even if we are in the end times, and I've said this a lot through the summer, even if we are, we don't know if it's going to be 10 years, 50 years, 80 exactly. years, 100 years. So we have to carry forward and try and preserve a republic or do what we can to fight this, prayerfully, like Kathy said. We have to do these things because we can't do nothing because we don't know how much time we're talking about it.
That's right.
So we don't want to leave people in chaos. We don't want to leave our grandkids in chaos because we didn't do anything because we thought it was the end of the world coming, right? We can't
do
that.
And we have to show them how to do it or they're not going to do it because they've never been taught.
That's right.
I can agree with that.
The other thing is, Tom and I have been around a long time. So have you.
Right.
And how many times did we see that this something was going to happen right now? And they had that plan, and it was ready to go.
Right.
And a bunch of us prayed, and God delayed.
That's right.
And God delayed many times over. Their plans were set to happen, right. And prayer took them out.
That's right. And just because there are insidious plans does not mean they can't be overcome. And, so we do have to carry forward, and we do have to try to unite, and we do have to try and prayerfully and do the things we need to leave a country. I mean, right now we're carrying that torch, and we've got to hand that off to the next generation, and as well as we can. We need to be better stewards in our generation, right? So absolutely. I mean, we have to continue to try. And if we end up and it is the end times, and it happens 6 months from now or tomorrow, okay. But, we haven't lost anything by continuing the fight for freedom.
Nope. We have to keep going. We have to unite in prayer. There's no other way to do this.
That's exactly right.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you much, Tom. Well, go ahead, Pete. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add that prayer is a starting point in a sense. Compared to action and giving of yourself and putting that prayer into action, leaving the church and going out into the world and living the prayers that you prayed. Someone saying, Lord, help the hungry people. Well, you go walk out of the church and you see a hungry person there and you say, oh, I don't have time to do it. You just wasted your prayer in a sense. Prayer is almost a catalyst for a starting point. But really what God wants is he wants our heart. He wants our action. And I think that's where we're uniting now, is where there might be people out there, they might not understand prayer. They might not understand, what the scriptures is saying to do. But you know what? They're doing it. You see, and God sees them. And so, you know, we might not, religious people might not see it, or prayerful people, or, and there's a lot of arrogant and prideful right. people who pray. And they might not see it, but God sees those people, and like even the little children. And so I think that that's what we're being united in that sense. You know, the people in the churches are being united with the people out on the streets who are actually living a godly life, even though they might not have the religion, but they're living it in their heart. They want something done. They know something's wrong, and they're doing it, and God acknowledges that.
Prayer and fasting.
Yes, he does.
Prayer and fasting. That's why they took it out of the other Bibles, Matthew 17:21. King James has it. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. That's where you get your power, is fasting and prayer.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where, with that fasting stuff, that's where it really hurts. Right?
That's true, yeah.
To pray, right?
That's true.
But you got to do the fasting part. That becomes a little more real.
And that means no hot dogs, Tom.
Oh, come on now. Don't make it personal, okay? Stop making it personal, all right? That's dirty pool.
Yeah. And before you go, Linda, I've been wondering about Linda. Where is she? What's she doing?
I don't talk about the other on the air.
Okay. She's okay, though.
Everybody's fine.
Okay. Well, we sure got a quiet bunch of people, and normally they got some lots to say.
They do. They were quiet bunch tonight. So,
well,
been
if they're like
very
my
interesting.
If my family, like my family, first heard all this when I first started, they were looking for at the dollar store a cheap or inexpensive white suit with a self-hugging white suit. They were looking for it for me.
Yeah. And some of them are probably still looking for it. Aren't
yeah. You know, self-hugging white suit on retail. But, you know, when you have the evidence for it, it's just, you know, and it's just mind-boggling, this whole thing. But anyway, I'll stop there.
All right. Well, Tom Gamble, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well,
hey,
really,
Jeff, it's actually Pete's wife, Caroline. Pete took a phone call, but Jackson's trying to get on the call here. He sent us a message asking to get on the show. I don't know if he has
all
a
right, we'll get him on here. I know we need to let Tom go.
Can you hang up? No problem.
I'm fine.
We'll get him on here for 3 hours. And
I got buzz of energy. I mean, I'm here to help. I'm here to learn.
Let me see if he's got an actual question, because if it's just wanting him to call. But if he's got an actual question for you, then we'll pull it in. So hang on a minute here. Let's see.
We got a nice comment here, Tom. It says, I love this show tonight. Prayer and blessing. You can't beat it.
No, I'm just bringing it in and asking if he has a question. No, here he comes.
Then it says, tell Tom big hugs and big thanks from Just a Lookin'. No, I lost the message. It moved.
Gosh, I'm blushing. I appreciate it.
Oh, that would take some doing there.
Hey, Jackson, do you have a question for Tom, or were you just wanting
to
call?
Oh, and she's asking you to please pray with us.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't have a question. I just kind of wanted to comment, and So if you have to run, I do understand.
No, I don't. No. Go ahead.
Well, I just kind of wanted to comment as far as I believe it's more than just a, how do I put it, a physical fight. It's more of a role model fight, you know, an actual walk, an actual and I don't want to call names or name instances or issues, but as Christians, and I'm not a perfect Christian. I'll be the very first person to tell you that. But I've learned a lot along the way by practicing certain things. And I find I learn better when I actually practice. Not just by doing without hot dogs, but without doing without going to that bar room, which is kind of the same as doing without that hot dog, you know. Getting away from those, being absent of the things that keep me blind, you know, being self-fulfilling, not involving myself in corrupt conversations, you know, by withdrawing, and don't get me wrong, I fall short sometimes. I really do. I fall short in my thoughts and my actions, but I really believe that Christians are going to show themselves through examples.
Yep.
And they're going to have to be the leaders. They're going to have to be the leaders in wanting, like Jeff had said, in wanting to unite people and not acting as the vessel or the wedge to drive between factions or drive between things. And labels are one of our biggest faults, you know, whether we part of this group, whether we're part of that group, whether we're Republican, Democrat, communists, socialists, capitalists, whatever. That we reach a point in our lives where we actually have to see, eventually, when all the noise settles, we actually see what was a lie and what wasn't. And sadly, it only comes with age, you know, and with experience. There's that old saying, youth is wasted on the young, you know? It really is, because I wish I had the knowledge I had today with the attitude and the strength and the energy I had of yesterday. It's a learning curve, and I believe we need to realize that we're not all perfect and that we are learning if we'll just stop and listen and be that very light, be that
example.
Be that example. Example. Yeah. You got it, brother.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't get into all the names and the factions and all of this stuff, because I really try to look at it from a broad perspective, because I realize the moment we attach labels to to anything, I get steered off track, you know, whether it be the Catholic religion and these priests who have molested children, and I realize, because I was Catholic, and I was like, wait a second, I wouldn't do that, so I realize there are good people in that religion. It's really just ignorance talking when people say, oh, the Catholic religion's bad. Because I guarantee you, 99% of the people in the Catholic religion are probably top-notch people. And so it doesn't matter what group they're in, whether it's Illuminati, and forgive me, this is just my own personal opinion, whether it's Illuminati, because only the top ranks are probably the corrupt ones. There's so many people funneling and funding their agendas, and they're doing it for the better cause, but it's all the money that's being raised is probably going into evil agendas, was my point. But, that's with everything we do. When we put our work and efforts in other people, we have to expect that it will be derailed, or it could be derailed. So we have to make sure that we come together on an even plane. There's really so much to say about the subject. I'm just brainstorming to give examples, and the best way I can is all. And that's the way I see things. I've learned through time. But there's a lot of great people out there. There's a lot of great politicians, a lot of great bankers. There's these foreign bankers that need to be stopped, no doubt. Politicians that need to be stopped. It's not government that we need to replace. It's corrupt politicians. And we really need to get together and come together as one people, and drop all the labels and start identifying them. You know, and be that example. And that's just my rant. I apologize.
But the corruptness is controlled by the Illuminati, by the labels. You have to know the labels to know the people, because they follow a Luciferian agenda, which is a majority. It controls the government and has since 1776. And they, one, like I said, when I first started, is a genetic bloodline that goes back to the pharaohs of Egypt. And the pharaohs of Egypt are the descendants, are the beginning, the descendants are the the blue bloodlines today, the kings and queens, are descendants of the pharaohs. And the pharaohs, in fact, the pharaohs are the hybrids of the fallen angels and daughters of man. They have a different DNA. Their DNA is copper-based DNA, whereas humans are carbon-based DNA. This is very, very deep what's going on. It's very deep. Satan is fully entrenched until Jesus Christ comes back in Armageddon.
Yeah, I don't have the knowledge really to argue with you, or to debate is a better word.
I learn something new every day. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor or a scientist. I just keep it in the, and I totally understand what you're saying, and I see that myself. I see it in some families, just the morals that they hold, power and finances. Yeah. Are more important to them than humanity itself.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely see what you're saying. Mm. I just don't think anybody who's a Freemason is a bad person. But I do see that maybe the higher ups very well could be. So I can't argue with you at all.
You're right. That wasn't my purpose. You're correct. The lower level, it's like an onion. You peel away the onion, each layer knows more than the next layer knows.
Right.
So, in other words, but the Freemasons, if they know about God, they know about the Bible, they know they cannot take that blood oath. They should need to walk out of this lodge right then, right there. Matthew 5:33-37, you can take no oath at all. So, at first degree, they take a blood oath that's just absolutely horrific. They take an oath to God to lie. I mean, it's the first degree, but they're told it's only idle words. Don't worry about it. It's just idle words. Well, we're held accountable for all idle words. So as you go to the second degree, you get pulled in with more blood oaths. Third degree, and Albert Pike said to the higher levels to lie to the lower level Blue Lodge until they get through there. And then you start telling them a little bit more secrets before. They got to shut down the Masonic Lodge completely and totally, because the Masonic Lodge, all the way from first degree to the 33rd degree and beyond, worship Lucifer. That's the purpose of it. And so when they do good deeds, the lower level, yeah, you know, it's good deeds. But what it does is hiding the purpose behind the true purpose of Masons. It goes back to Nimrod.
I can agree with that. I can definitely agree. Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If do you think that our biggest problem then would be that we are very easily influenced instead of being able to think for ourselves? Do you think that that is the actual root cause of, instead of just taking another man's word for it, that we should be able to see things for ourselves, you know?
Oh, let me give you something. Article 5. Paragraph 11 of the protocols says, and I quote, just like you hit the nail on the head, quote, "There's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim, that be us, communities, that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence," unquote.
You know, the other thing that comes to mind, Jackson, is in the Bible. And the Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." And so those of us who know the truth, if we do not tell you the truth, then the blood, your blood is on our shoulders. We have to tell you the truth, whether we like to do this or not. And yes, you can be a member in the Illuminati. You can be a member in the Masons. You can be in the Knights of Columbus. It doesn't matter. You enter in with a non-educated level. You have no education in what you're entering into because you haven't researched it. So you go in blind, and God understands that. But then as you go along, and you know the Word of God, because you say you're a Christian going in, not you, but, you know, I'm just saying in general, You say you're a Christian going in, so you know the Word of God. So the Word of God says, no blood oaths. The Word of God says, no lies. These are simple things.
Very simple.
Yep.
And they can save your life keep you out of that mess.
Yep.
You got to walk it. You got to practice it. When you see it happening, you got to learn to say, this is not for me.
Yep.
And that's what I want to do. I want to give people the power to say, you know what? I feel like I'm being influenced beyond my knowledge, beyond my understanding. Because it's really not a watered-down idea. Jesus really put it down to simplistic terms.
Yep.
He really did. Do not tell a lie. Do not murder. Do not steal. When you start doing these things, something inside of you tells you it's something's not right. You know, when somebody tries to influence you to character assassinate a certain person, you know, as a human being, I don't care who you are. I don't care what label you attach yourself to. I don't care what party you're applied, you hold. You know deep down inside what is right and what is wrong. Now, you can either save humanity or you can be what is going to destroy it. And the idea is that truth should be able to defend itself, bottom line. And it's very simple, you know. So all this attaching, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be accepted. And that is, deep down, that's man's true passion. We just want to be accepted. But when we're dumped into a society where people sort of, how do I put it, when everybody else is corrupt, being loved seems more important than standing up for what's right. But the world needs some light. It really needs some examples, and it needs some people, and everybody's going to make mistakes. Not one of us is perfect, not a single one. But we need to be that light to say, you know what, I'm not going to be involved in this. I'm not going to take on this label. And I'm talking about everybody from a corrupt police force to a federal agent to a CIA agent to an NSA agent to a Occupy agent to a Baptist, Catholic, whatever agent. I don't care. You give me a label, you're an agent for it if you have not thought it through.
Yeah.
You can either be the process for prosperity and truth, or you can just want to be loved. But I tell you, I want everybody to know, and this is my own personal opinion, when you do what's right, there are people out there who will love you. I guarantee you. And it'll be a true love. It won't be somebody who's going to stab you in the back later. So I just want people to be aware of the labels and realize that we all want to be loved. We do. But you know what? There's just some people out there that their love is a little more shallow than that true love. So, which is why I wanted to just call in and voice my opinion.
Appreciate it.
All right, Jackson. Yeah. We appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
Jeff Jose wants to come on.
Okay.
You know, the love thing that Jackson was just talking about, love is the greatest gift that God gave us. It has the most power in it. It has all authority in it. Love is kind, but love can also be very strict in different versions. I mean, I have to tell you the truth. There's no two ways about it. Whether I like doing it or I don't like doing it, I have to tell you the truth. And truth is what's going to set us free.
Yep.
So they go hand in hand. So a lot of people think that we come on here and we do these kinds of things because we want to be intelligent and show our intelligence. I don't even want to do this stuff. But I know that God has called me to it. And I know that God called Tom because God called Tom to me first. And then Tom went on the air. So I know how this whole thing went.
And no matter how hard I try
not to do it.
But RJ Hinder was brought me on about as a guest several times. And
yeah.
then I was on LBN for a while. But one thing I really have to mention, since he brought up the Mason thing, that's pretty significant is that once they've taken the blood oath, once they've taken the blood oath and joined the Masons, literally, they have cursed their family for four generations. So they have to take an extra step when they join the Masons to deliver themselves. They got to be delivered from the satanic influence that they brought into their home. Because they've cursed their family four generations. This is what's happened, literally. So that's very important to know.
Yeah.
Can I get a quick plug in?
Yes, sir.
I really don't think that. I think that's a myth because I've seen the offspring of an evil person, and from that I have seen the most beautiful child because the father was separated from the family, and. To the point to where I've seen the father take an axe after the mother and the other children. He was locked away in prison, and he has not had any influence, keyword influence, in this child's life. I have never ever met a more beautiful kid.
God will protect him.
I have to argue with that point, and I know he's still a child, and he's got some growing to do. But I just see the power. That when you get away from the influences that disturb you or that give you myths,
this is not a myth. I assure you, the Ouija board. Well, I can assure you. See, God protects the heart, and God knows the heart, and God will protect. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. But those families don't have that in their family. Those demons will come in. It's like the Ouija board. The Ouija board causes suicides. The Ouija board brings demons into your home. Let's go back to 600 A.D., and you cursed your family. I mean, the demons are real, and they're like sticking your finger in a socket and getting shocked. You can't see them, but they're like people. They're like, they think, they have intelligence, they have jobs. Satan is real. Fallen angels are real.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
and good kids go bad from hanging around with bad crowds, and kids go straight eventually by hanging around with the right people too. So I've seen this. Uh-huh. I've been around way too long, and I've had things that were told to me, but I just see the total opposite. I just really do. And maybe you see different, and I can't.
But the Bible tells you.
I can't debate you on what I actually see.
But the Bible tells us. The Bible tells you about spiritual warfare and the demonic realm. I mean, it's not me. It's the Bible.
Right. But spiritual warfare is also the people you choose to hang around with, too. So,
yeah.
You go to bed with dogs, you get fleas, bottom line.
Yeah.
You're hanging around with good people, you end up learning about business and productive relationships and, you know, yeah. Or if you hang around with thugs, eventually you treat every baby's mama like she's a piece of dirt. You know, so we really have to be conscious of things that come into our lives and what is it that we witness and what is it that is just told to us. So it's very, very important. Everything we talk about is important, no doubt. But education is so important, and being honest with yourself and being honest about your enemy, which it can come in conversations, it can come with people. So we really have to basically put up a wall of things that we're not ready to accept yet and stick to those grounds and realize that we are the witness. So and God doesn't punish. And I want to thank you, John, for that text. God doesn't punish the innocent. We do have choices, and I believe every man has something instilled in him that says, you know, what am I going to do? And we tend to make more mistakes the more naive we are, which is the real injustice. But we have that power. Man can stand up and rebuke this stuff. It takes experience. When we're hurt enough, once we go through enough hardships, we will stand up. We will say, you know what? I've been misled long enough. No more. Every person goes through that. So let that be your guide. It's a shame we have to run into that brick wall 8, 10, 20, 40, 80 times. Because there's always things mocking us in the ear saying it's this way, but life just tells us that it's a certain way. And if we'd have just listened to life and that being that's been speaking inside of us all along, we can cut through a lot of the tall grass. So
that's, that being is Jesus. That's the only way. It's through Jesus. There's no other way. No
Amen,
other way.
Brother. I agree. I agree.
All right, so okay. Jose, have you got a question for Tom?
Well, I actually had a comment that I wanted to make, and Jeffrey, you have the notes on this. I've passed them to you. It was that letter that I read on one of your shows where Colonel Edward M. House wrote to one of the presidents, and I don't remember who because I'm kind of burned out. As I've been up for the last 30 plus hours. I'm not sure how many.
Right.
You do have those notes. I did pass them to you. I read a huge chunk of the letter on the plan that was being used on us. Now, I'm talking about specifically two 33rd level degree Freemasons advancing the agenda, if you will, and where it said that we have them now, is what, and I'm paraphrasing, Colonel House was writing, and I believe it was to Eisenhower.
Woodrow Wilson?
He said, well, yeah, Wilson. There you go. Sorry about that. Okay. Like I said, I'm tired. He said, we have them now. We have them by pledges.
Okay, you want me to read it for you?
And there's a lot.
You got it?
I can read it. Oh, of course I do.
Do you have it handy?
Yeah, I read it. Oh, I got all this handy.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Oh, please.
1913 to 1921. Don't know the exact date. Colonel Edward Mandel House wrote to Woodrow Wilson. He put it in his diary. Now, Mandel House is equivalent to Adam Weishaupt is to Thomas Jefferson. They control them supernaturally. That's what happened. That's why Woodrow Wilson called Mandel House his alter ego. Supernaturally, he calls it. Okay, so he wrote them back in 1913, between 1921, and he said, and I quote, "Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property." That's you and your children, by the way. And I already talked about this earlier. I didn't read this, but I referred to this in 1933, earlier, about an hour or two ago. In a national system designed to keep track of the people that will operate under the ancient system of pledging, by such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a charge back for the fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattels, that's property, and we will hold the security interest over them forever. By operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions, Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificate, to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser. For not one man in a million could ever figure our plans, and if by accident one or two should figure it out, we will have our arsenal of plausible deniability. After all, this is only logical way to fund government, by floating liens, debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. So without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office, that's a presidency, of our dummy corporation, United States of America, to foment this plot against America, unquote. Now, what that means is, as I alluded to about, 2.5 hours ago, that on the third level of the 7-year bank cycle, in 1929, they needed to extend the 70-year bank cycle, and they needed collateral. Remember I said 1789, 1859, 1929? Well, that's what I was referring to, is that American citizens were taken as collateral, and that's what they said right there. So, from 1929 on, those who were born in the United States got a birth certificate. That birth certificate pledged a $1 million trust into your personal bank account, the treasury account, in Switzerland. And so when I was born in 1952, and I got a birth certificate, my little footsie's put on there, whatever. So my name, Thomas L. Gamble, whatever, was bonded for $1 million on that day. Now, that goes into my treasury account that I'll never know about, that whole number of years I've lived. And it collects interest as you go along. Now, we're chattel. We're property. We're traded like cattle and didn't know it. So that money was to pay off, because it wasn't Nixon. It was FDR, that rascal. Took us off the gold standard. It took us off the gold standard. Tom? Yeah.
Right.
If I may throw in a side note,
yes,
we are, all of that, the birth certificate stuff falls under the Department of Agriculture, by the way.
Yep. Well, the IMF has got it. We're owned, we're traded on the stock market.
Well, yeah, the IMF got it now, but it still holds underneath the Department of Agriculture, because they couldn't put it under any other department. That's
bingo.
Where you put your cattle.
There. He nailed it. And so that money.
Yeah, I've been chasing after these assholes since, I mean, and I'm sorry, folks, for the French, but that's what they are.
So you know,
because
about.
That's what, there's only one thing that comes out of that, and you know what it is, and they've been giving that to us forever.
That's right.
But my point is, if you see, I was raised a rancher / farmer, so I learned very quickly that what a birth certificate is, and when you have to issue a certificate of live birth for a foal or a calf that is newly born, and you have to prove two bloodlines, one from a bull and one from a cow, or one from a stud and one from a mare, and you issue these certificates, it's easy to see that these are degrees of pedigree. And so that's what a birth certificate actually is. It delineates your pedigree. So everybody that has a birth certificate has been pedigreed. I don't know what standard of pedigree, but citizens equals chattel equals beasts of burden and stakes on the table by volunteering for it.
That's right. So in essence, they figured out a baby boomer is worth today about $350 million. That money was to be used to pay off your house, your car, your debt, everything, because you're slaves. And so that money was to be used to pay off, because you have no money. It's declared null and void in 1933 by FDR. You have no go backing. So the money that you have, the dollar bills, is nothing more than an IOU on steroids. You see, that's all it is. It always has been.
Yeah.
So here's the catchy part. In 2006, they figured this out. And there was a man by the name of Kane, and his son would travel around teaching people how to draw off on that money called accepted for value. And they killed him. They killed him and his son in a shootout. 2000, I forgot what year it was. They killed
him. Yeah, and they were tagged as sovereign citizens.
Yep.
It happened in Tennessee or Kentucky. It was a very big scandal, but hardly anybody heard.
That's right.
The side of the father and son. The only thing that they heard about was from the sheriff whose son just happened to be one of the police officers that was killed by these two gentlemen. And he swore on national television up, down, and every possible direction. And he said he actually swore to take sheer revenge on all sovereign citizens.
Yep.
Now, I completely disagree with anyone calling themselves a sovereign citizen, but I know what those two words mean in law and in regular, normal, standard English. And you people got to understand, it's two different things, and I'm not talking down to you. I'm asking you to awaken your minds and educate yourself, because there's three versions of English. There's slang, there's standard English, which hardly changes. Slang is like water. It changes its shape every day. And then there's law English, and I call it legalese, but it's law English, and that is just about the same thing as speaking Latin, because it doesn't change. In 200 years, it's been changed. The last 200 years, yes, but only enough to confuse us.
Yep.
Because, see, they're going according to the words that they know, and these are lawyers. These people grow up as lawyers, and that language is the language they speak is 200 years old, whereas the language we speak in law now is from, I don't know, whatever the last Black's Law Dictionary or whatever came out. And most of us don't even speak that, because we're speaking some sort of mix between standard English and street slang. And when you get in front of a judge and speak that stuff, you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
You sound like a sheer idiot.
Yep.
But I've digressed off the original subject. I apologize.
Not really. You're not there. I mean, it's all connected.
Yeah, it is all connected. It absolutely is. And then to go back to the pledging part, see, this pledging thing, they have us either pledging in the secret societies, or when you go into the U.S. Army, you pledge to, you give a solemn oath. And I made mine, and yes, I made the mistake of, so help me God, in that. So I'm beholden to that. And I keep on trying to gently ease people into understanding this stuff.
Other,
but people refuse.
Yep.
Huh?
Other pledges is marriage certificate, driver's license, all that. Those are pledges. That's why they do it.
Social Security.
Yeah, all that.
Social Security, voters registration.
There you go.
The whole mess there. And I mean, you may have others. Every time you say, every time that you put your name to a piece of paper created or a document created by the U.S. government, you are giving your solemn word, your oath, that that is the law that you will, that you are promising to follow. And see, something that, and I think it's too early for this crowd. I don't think any of them really get it. But I'm going to say it. One of the main things under the oath of, to defend Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I hate to tell you folks, whenever you say you have rights under the United States Constitution, the only thing that you're really doing is committing what's called legal trespass on another person's contract.
Yep.
And that's how I see it. And I'm not the only one that sees it that way. I got my knowledge from people that have been doing this research for many more years than what I've been around. And I'm pretty close to 50. So,
you're exactly right.
I think this information's solid. I think it is.
It is solid.
I hate to throw it out there this early. I like to ease people gently into this stuff, but, you know, it's kind of 11:55 or something like that, and we don't have time to screw around. We really don't.
So you figure when your troops have been born, they were bonded for $1 million, and then they get a life insurance, the military does, on each dead person. So when we have a dead military person coming home, they've received the money from their personal treasury account that we just finished talking about. Plus, they get a life insurance policy on every dead military person.
Yep.
That's above and beyond.
As a matter of fact.
Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, there's many corporations that do the same thing with their employees here in the States. Walmart. Kmart, well, name a major corporation that doesn't, and I'll be shocked.
Yep.
See, what they do is they hire you, and as you're going through all the paperwork to get hired in, you're not reading the contract, and somewhere's in there it's going to say something to the effect of, you know, because you work for the company gets full rights,
yep,
to issue any form of insurance on your behalf. Okay, and that's what gives them the right to take out a life insurance policy on you, and even after you've left, even after you've quit and been gone for 5 or 6 years, if they know you just kicked the bucket or whatever, you know, they get to pull that insurance policy, and by golly, they're going to get their money.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about conspiracy. That is proven fact. Look into it. Walmart's one of the big ones that had a big, huge scandal on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they were dragged into some U.S. Superior Court or something like that. And it was, I don't know what the turnout was on it. I read it lightly because I wanted to be sure that it was happening. I've seen cases, more than one case on it, but I never found out, you know, did the people get money out of them or not or what? I didn't go that far. I stopped at, okay, it's happening. Let's move on to the next subject.
Yep.
And then step off of the my oath to serve and defend over to how they train us into these pledges, into easily taking the pledges for whatever reason. See, you cannot make
contract with a minor. Now, a minor in law is someone who is under the age of 18, if I understand it correctly. And it varies in certain states, but it's all the same thing. Now, they start by ingraining it into us pretty much from the first day of school. Maybe it's the second, you know. The teacher will get up there, and they'll point out the U.S. flag, and they'll start with, "Okay, class, repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the Federation's flag."
Yep.
And it's, you gotta understand, folks, the only time that the United States is considered to be a nation, a single nation, is under the United Nations.
That's correct.
Other than that, like I've been, well, like I've said on Jeffrey's show before, there's standing in law that each state is its own nation. It's, we are united. Yes. That means we are incorporated right from the start.
Yep. We're calling a corporation, not a country.
Well, yeah, no. Well, it is a corporation. It's a country, but it, in a loose sense of the word of country, it's, yeah, in a very loose sense, it is. But it is a federation, and it is solidly a corporation.
Yep.
Now, I missed a couple of the points in that one speech that I wanted to talk about, but those are hardly even important.
Now, you nailed it. Okay.
All right.
And it, yeah. So now did I kind of clear things up on that speech, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I was just letting you guys talk it out. I would like to when Tom comes back, like I was saying before. I know the historical perspective on what got us to here is good, but you know, somewhere in here, we need to frame up what we need to do to move forward. You know,
we definitely need unity, but
it's imperative to figure out what to do to go from here. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I do believe that we need a lot of unity, and you know the resistance that I've received to spreading the truth. I think spreading the truth about how we've all been, we've had the wool pulled over our eyes, you know?
Yeah, and there's been...
How we've been fooled.
Yeah, there's been so many people, like I said, with just so many decades of propaganda under them, you're never going to get them all to, you know, to buy into everything that you know. You know what I mean? And,
right.
But we do have to figure out beyond that. We have to figure out, you know, what are we going to do to mitigate some of these evil forces in the world. You know?
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, or in a previous call, I believe we need approximately 15% of America actually awakened, whether it's by shaking them awake, I don't know. But we've got to point out to them that all the trickery and lies and deceit and manipulation that we've all undergone.
Well, Jose, this is just going to continue to slide, all right? It's in free fall now. And things are just going to get worse for the American people. You're not going to have every month that goes by, right? Every year that goes by, I mean, it's going to be easier to get people to realize that something's wrong. So the message of unity gets easier to do as we go forward in time, because this is just going to continue to get worse.
Yeah, that, you know, that's why most of my comments, whenever, like a few days ago, I was talking to a friend and she was like, well, my son wanted to join the Freemasons and da da da. And I pointed a whole bunch of stuff out to her and she said, oh my. And she's sitting there with a chair in her living room with the symbology of the of Ra, mm-hmm. the sun god, the big old circle on it, right? Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just a circle. And I said, take for instance your chair. And she goes, what do you mean by my chair? And I says, that's, it's got that circle and that circle and that circle, and those are all symbols of the sun god Ra. And she goes, no, those are just pretty decoration. I said, no, they're not. No, they're not. And I could probably connect, I could probably go through that, the makers of that company, and show you which ones are actually up at the top, are actually connected to, you know, all this other junk that's going on. And but I didn't go that far into the whole thing. I tried to keep it light. I didn't want to be shocking, let's say. But the more that we point out that it's actually the U.S. government being used. I mean, if you guys want to have, how can I say this? I'm against having a government where man rules over another man. One man rules over another man. Or one group of men rule over another group of men. Or a small group of men rule over the majority of the populace. And I agree that someday in the future, and I'm not talking tomorrow or even within the next 1,000 years, there should be a one-world government for this planet, because the whole world has got to unite at some point, but not the way these people are doing, and not under the form that they are creating. Because what they're creating is a super class of rulers, and then down at the bottom, a super class of, well, ruled or subjects, if you will. And I personally call them slaves. So they're cutting it down to two different classes. I remember breaking down our society on status, financial status, at one point back in the very early 80s, as a kid, you know, and I was seeing, okay, there's these three classes. You got your upper class, middle upper class, and lower upper class, and I could see nine divisions. I could clearly see them. And then that shrunk to three clear divisions, and now we're so close to having only one upper class and one lower class and nothing else, and that's by design, because nothing happens in politics if it isn't by some sort of plan, some sort of design. They get us under just about every possible direction that they can hit us. Look at L.A., for example. You've got rampant lawless gangs that will not at least adhere to natural law. They don't adhere to any sort of law. They're just, that is anarchy. California, but California's famous for being anarchistic, because you have their main place there where Hollywood gives an offer, but the Valley delivers. And those of you that have studied into this know exactly what I'm talking about. When it comes to movies, the Hollywood will offer you all the porno you could possibly want. But the Valley, which is just across the mountain, will deliver. And that's how close that is.
Well, if I may, excuse me. The plan is, in fact, going to be a one world government with a benevolent leader, and literally, his name is Jesus Christ. What's going to happen is you're going to have a major event occur, and then you're going to have a fallen angel is going to come out of nowhere called Sanand Emanuel. It's going to take over, and then the New World Order will happen. But then when they go through it, there will be World War III, and will wipe out three-quarters of the population. That's going to happen once it begins. And then about the 3.5 years after that, God himself is going to bring on judgment upon this earth. And then at the end of the 7 years of this will be Armageddon. And that's when Jesus Christ will literally take a throne in Jerusalem and will rule for 1,000 years. Everything's going to change. I mean, that's going to happen. We just don't know when that period of time is going to happen. And that is your one world government, but with a benevolent leader, and literally it will be Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Supernaturally. No human can do this. It's impossible. Human beings can't do it. And it's going to be supernatural. It's going to come out of the woodwork. That's what all this is leading to. You see? Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. But through Jesus.
The part that I was hoping for is the avoidance of the murdering and killing of three-quarters of the population.
It's impossible to avoid.
Because this is where I tend to disagree with a lot of Christians. Because how can we possibly have free will if everything is written in stone? If everything is written in stone, then it's just going to happen, and we really don't have choice.
Yeah, you do.
We don't really have free will.
You do have free will.
On the other hand, if we do have free will and nothing is written in stone, then we can come together. We can take control of this planet, and we can avoid that much slaughter and bloodletting. And that's my entire point, is if we need to unite not just the United States, but the United States is an excellent start, but we need to unite the planet in such a direction.
It's going
to look, these are the evil ones. They are our rulers, and we need to stop them from doing what they have planned, which is the absolute decimation of the human race.
Well, they won't accept.
Those are the key points. And that if that doesn't unite people, I don't know what will.
Well, they already have this planned out. It's already planned how to unite the people.
Yeah.
John Dewey did with the extraterrestrial menace. It's already set up. And once that happens, they're going to bring in the Antichrist. That there's no way possible to stop that, because God has ordained it to happen.
We need to unite under our own plan and not under their plan.
It's God's plan. No, it's God's plan. His plan will come true. There's no way around it.
Well, then in that case, it is written in stone.
Yeah, it is, because
there's nothing we can do about it.
No, there is. No, you accept.
And we don't have free will.
No, you do have free will. To accept Jesus or reject Jesus. Go to heaven or go to hell. That's your free will. And that means the Ten Commandments is written in stone. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, commit adultery. That's all. And accept Jesus as Savior, and God will take your soul to heaven with him. But if we reject Jesus Christ, that's your free will. then the soul's going to hell. I mean, that's what is going to happen. It's not a choice of whether or not we can just hang around and be ghosts or whatever. We have a choice on this earth to accept Jesus or don't. That's a free will. Adam and Eve, take that apple or don't take that apple. That's your gospel. But your choice is to whether to do it or not. I mean, that's right. The way it works. I mean, but you're right, though. They do have a plan to unite the earth. And as a matter of fact, right here, I got the exact quote of how they're going to do it by a humanist by the name of John Dewey, who was the father of American education. He said, and I quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose. And they have planned the extraterrestrial hoax and planned since 1917 to Iron Mountain Report, 1966. It's listed there. And they began setting it up in 1948. Orson Welles was a test."
Yeah, I believe.
Go ahead.
I believe that was, it was either Eisenhower or one of Eisenhower's friends back in the, right after World War II. They were, and it came, I believe it comes from a meeting in the, either in the UN or in a meeting from the CFR, possibly trilaterals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't really have that one pinned down. Like I said, I've been awake for over 30 hours. So, you know, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. But I'm trying to bring out pertinent information.
Uh-huh.
That is true. That is the plan. And anybody that tries to disconnect the Illuminati and the Bilderberger and all those fools from the UFOs is making a very big mistake. Now, personally, I do not believe that there are aliens
right.
from other planets.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I do believe that there is a race here on planet Earth that is not human.
Yep.
But may possibly look human.
Yep.
And those are the real Earthlings. Well, we humans are real Earthlings just like they are. It's just they've been around a lot longer, and their lifespans are definitely much longer than ours.
They're fallen angels is what they are. They live in the second heaven, and they achieve the movement from second heaven to first heaven by child and human sacrifice. And they acquire that body that they need, or they channel or use chalice. This is how they do it. They're called the sons of God of the Old Testament. They call them aliens today because they don't call them sons of God or angels or demons because that would not fit their agenda. So they call them aliens right. or ascended masters, and that's a lie. What they are fallen angels that goes back to the days of Noah. And we have names for them. There's 66 of them now, to be exact.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
And what was one of the next points that I was wanting to make? No, it's not coming. I'm sorry.
Well, you guys are amazingly at the end of the fourth hour anyway. I mean, we're right up at the end of the...
Wow.
We're right at the up at the
really?
End of the show here, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
We got about 14 minutes of airtime, you know, minus the 5 minute end credit. So, you know, I guess we're about 9 minutes away here.
All right, go ahead.
So, oh, my.
So,
I'm sorry.
Tom.
I'm sorry. There's got to have been somebody else wanted in on this chat. I do know.
No, right? I think you guys were it here at the end. So, you know, I just kind of let you guys run.
Okay.
And talk about what you wanted. So,
Oh, well, it's a pleasure meeting you, Tom. It
you
really
too.
Is. I, like I said, you know, I've been trying to chase these guys for
yep.
quite some time. I started in 96. earlier than that is when I started waking up. I probably started waking up at the age of 15, but long, slow process, cutting through all the BS and becoming a soldier and other stuff that, you know, I'm just trying to be a good American there and all that other stuff. But my point is, I've kind of followed the teachings of William Cooper and
yep.
Jordan Maxwell, John Quaid, L.B. Bork, and many others. And I mean, when you've got 14 or 15 people all saying the same thing, you know, and you're tying in all these different subjects, and you know, each one kind of specializes in a different realm of each subject. Yeah. And they all kind of agree on absolutely everything. And I was like, wow, this is hardcore. This is heavy duty. I figured, yeah, well, maybe, you know, maybe I got something to pass on to somebody in the future. I don't know. But I do thank you for calling in or being a guest on Jeffrey's show tonight. It's been a pleasure speaking to you and speaking with you. It's just, I missed like an hour and a half of the first of the call-in time. I came in very late.
Well, it's in the archives, so you can go back and check it out. I've already put it in the archives tonight. The first half of the show. Yeah, it's in the archives, the first 3 hours. So it's there for anybody who missed it.
Okay, well, it's a pleasure meeting you all, and I appreciate the invite, and certainly talking to you, Jackson, and the rest of you is really an education for me tonight.
All right, and we've enjoyed having you, Tom, and hope to see you again soon. And Tom Gamble, and his website is watchmenforjesus.com. So you can check that out and continue some of these thoughts. And we just appreciate you being with us.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless you, Tom. Thanks.